Let's just summarize what we did yesterday in Shulchan Aruch Yoredei Siman Sarites. We differentiated yesterday between the Rabbanans and Doraisas. What fell into the Tarovis? Again, it's a Tarovis that doesn't have enough of Bittul, and he wants to add to this Tarovis new Heter to beef up the heter in order to have enough of a heter, the balance of the kedera, to be mevatel is. So is he allowed to do so or not? And we said that it all depends upon what fell into this kedera. If nevela fell into the kedera, then he's not allowed to add to this kedera in order to set up bittul. But if, let's say, basar of pecholav, we gave that example because we paskin that basar of pecholav is only drabbanan, if that's what fell into the kedera, then he's allowed to be mosif. He can add heter into this mixture, and that's all based on a gemara beitzer, which we'll review in a second, in order to be mevata. So what does it mean, ein mevatel nisa l'chatchila? Ein mevatel nisa l'chatchila applies both to yisurei doraisa, like nevela, and yisurei derabbanan, like mukta, or like basar of pechala. So why is the Shulchan Aruch paskening that if you have a taroves of Iser Durabanan and Heter, and there's no Shishin, you're allowed to add Heter into the Heter that exists in this Tarovis to be Mevatalit? What happened to the violation of Ein Mevatlin Iser L'Katechila? So just to review some of the broad outlines of what we said yesterday, there are two Dinim in Ein Mevatlin Iser L'Katechila. One is to take an Iser and create a Tarovis. Mm-hmm. There is no tarovis. He wants to take a piece of basar b'chalav, or let's say basar of b'chalav for that matter, and he wants to throw it into a kedera. That's the first dimension of ein mevatlin isur. So that's ein ma'arvin isur l'chatchila. You can't take isur and be ma'arvin and create a tarovis. Then we have a second din. And that second din is that you can't create bittul. That's also included in ein mevatlin isur. What does it mean, ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila, in the second case? He's not creating a tarovis. There already was a tarovis, and the isur fell into the mixture, but he's creating bittul. Herein lies the difference between an isur d'oraisa and an isur d'rabbanan. With regard to an isur d'oraisa, there are two dinim of ein mevatlin. Number one, ein ma'arvin, you can't create a tarovis. Number two, you can't set up bittul. But in the case of an Issa Drabbanan, like for example Muktzah, we are not allowed to take Muktzah via Yodayim and create a Tarovis, but if there already is a Tarovis, we're allowed to add to this Tarovis. Now we have to ask two questions. Question number one, how do we know such a thing? How did the Shulchan Aruch know such a thing? Meaning, from whence do we derive that you could be Mavatal Issa L'Chatchila if it's only an Issa Drabbanan? And secondly, what's the logic behind this distinction between an Issa d'Oraisa and an Issa d'Rabbanan? So let's go step by step. The first question, how do we know such? How did the Shulchan Aruch know such a thing? What is the source in Shas that with regard to an Issa d'Rabbanan we are allowed to be mosif? We're not allowed to create, to be ma'ari, but we're allowed to be mosif. This is a Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza says that on Yontif, he had a tanur, a kira, and he's got wood that he chopped before Yontif. And then a piece of wood falls from the tree, and that's called nolad. It was not prepared before Yontif, and it falls into this tanur. Again, how do you orchestrate that? I don't know. But anyway, it fell into the tanur. So the Gemara says, in the name of Rav Matana, is marbe olav eitzim muchanim umevatlan. He's allowed to look in his house and see if he can find other twigs, other logs that were ready prepared before Yontif, add them to this tanur, and create bittul. So the Gemara asks, how can you do such a thing? V'akomavatel isa l'chatchila. And the Gemara answers, hani mili b'doraisa, avol b'dorabanan mevatel. Meaning, if we're talking about mukta, which is only an isa d'rabanan, then you're allowed to be mevatel this isa l'chatchila. And the question is, what does that mean? Are we simply doing away with the principle of ein mevatel isa l'chatchila with regard to d'rabanans? No. We are applying the principle of ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila, but not in the extreme, not in the double principle, not in the case where you're just being mevatel, but in the case where you're creating a tarovis. If you're creating a tarovis by taking isur, that has not been mixed up with heter, and you pour and you're throwing it into a pot or a mixture of heter, that you're not allowed to do, even if the Isser is only what?
Drabbanon.
Only drabbanon. That you can't do. What the Gemara allows you in the case of an Isser drabbanon is to be mosif. You already have a taroves. Okay, that's so far so good. And again, if you talk about the mechanics of it, the Rabbanon created this Iser Rabbanon, let's call it Basa B'Cholov, in the case of Oaf, or we could talk about Muktzah. So the Rabbanon created this Iser, and they decided under what circumstances is this Iser Aser. That's called Heim Amru Veim Amru. So they decided that if it's Asur, these are the parameters of the Isur. You're allowed to be Mavatal Isur, but you're not allowed to create a Taroves. You're not allowed to be Ma'arev the Isur. We're talking about the Rabbanis. What would motivate the Chachamim? Again, in the mechanics of it, I'm not talking about psychological motivations here. This is not a course in Psych 101. This is a halachic principle. What did the Chachamim say about a taroves with an Isur Rabbanon mixed in? What were they telling us when they said that you can add to jack up the heter and make it into bittul? Oh. So the Rav says, and according to this footnote, the Rashba has this in Beitz, I don't know, I didn't see the Rashba, but his understanding is that although ein mevatlin isur lechatchila means that you can't add heter to a taroves, that's a second din, which applies again in isur d'oraisa.
Right.
However, we're going to ask the following question. When he adds heter to this isur, I'm sorry, to this taroves, let's imagine a spectator, right? What are we seeing in front of our eyes? And there are two possible answers. We might be seeing a Maisa Bittel, where he's taking something in order to be Mavatel. So how do you Mavatel this Isa that fell to the roof? So you add Heter to it. Mm-hmm. Or we could redefine it. It's not an act of Bittel or Isa, but rather it's an act of what? Who remembers the flag that we waved yesterday? Hatzolas.
Hatzolas.
Haheter. Farsh Kivanti. Hatoras Haheter. Right? Hatzolas Haheter. The Rabbanan pulled a shtick. They pulled a rabbit out of the hat. And what they said was, again, we're talking about the mechanics of it. I'm not talking about the philosophy of it. The mechanics of it was that in an Isa D'Oraisa, the Torah says, you're doing an act of bittul. You're adding to this taroves, you're being mevatel Isa. But there's flexibility in an Isa D'Rabbanan because, hey, mamru, hey, mamru, they can define the parameters of the Isur. So what they're going to say is that if you take the Isur, call it Muktza, V'yadayim, and you mix it with the Taroves of Eitzim Mukhanim, that's considered something that's no-no. What are you doing? You're trying to mevatel the Isur. It's like a frontal confrontation. The Rabbanan said it's Asur, and you're going to say, no, it's Mutter. Why? Because I'm going to be mevatel it. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Isur and I'm being mevatel. Mm-hmm. But if I'm adding heter to a taroves, here the Chachamim said, you know what? I'm going to look at it differently. You're not coming to a head-on collision and trying to rebel against our Isur. What you're doing is you have a mitzvah. It's a given. There's a mixture here, and now you're going to have to throw out all the rest of the kedera. Let's imagine Basar of Becholov, and there's 59 pieces of heter, and now you took Basar of Becholov, you took a chicken cheeseburger, I don't know if there is such a thing, and you mixed it in with 59 pieces of heter. Oh man, this is bad news. You're going to have to throw out the whole thing. You don't have bittul. So the Rabbanan said, you know what? Add one more piece of heter. Why? Because you want to save the 59 pieces. So let's see it inside.
That's the heter. You can't do with deraisa there.
No, because in the case of deraisa, when you add something to that taroves, your goal is to be mevatel Isur. The Torah says you cannot be mevatel Isur. But when the Rabbanan had a new enactment of an Isur, which Minatorah is mutter, it's a cheftza that teira, then they could say, look, you know what? So we're going to make a magical trick here. Call it a kunz. Let's see the language inside. Heim amru shemutal levatal saisur, in a case where it's already fell in. Kidei lahatzil saheta. And he claims on the bottom that he found this in the Rashba and Beitza. So, you know, we can look that up. That would be fascinating. Honestly, I'm very skeptical. I've heard so many times after the Rav said a shiur that people say, oh, they said it before you, you know. And 9 out of 10, it's not so. It's Baba Mice. You know, after you heard the Rav's chiddush, then you read it into the text. Okay. Anyway, Lachenk Shinis Arif Isabah had to be shogeg, you know, he didn't deliberately take Isar and mix it into he tiruchachomim in a case of an Isar Drabanon, Lahosif Odheter Kide Levatil Saisa. Again, no one's lying. I mean, the truth is the facts are on the ground. You're doing this in order to be Vatalisa, there's no question about it. But instead of viewing it as if you're trying to take the Isar and be mata the Isar, we're gonna say that this Bitul Isar is only for the greater good of being matzel leheter, to take Isar and mix it together, that he says lo itiru, because that's not called hatzolas aheter. You know, you can't fool anybody and say I'm taking a chefetz of the Isura and I'm mixing it into a tarov and say I'm doing it to say that. What do you mean say that? Who asked you to say that? The heter is fine and well. You know, don't call a doctor. Oh, sorry, Jan. Don't call a doctor if you don't need one. I was going to say. I don't know. I don't want to. I just realized that Alan's a doctor, so I know I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But
how much do you have to play into being a mavadli?
Oh, so that's in the next paragraph. Let's read the next paragraph. How much do you have to add in order to set up bittul? So the Rav says the following. Let's go back to the source of this whole halacha. From whence do we derive that you're allowed to be mosif to a taroves in a case of an isur d'rabbanan, if the taroves is a given? That's from the Gemara in Beitza. And the Gemara says that you can be mevatel isur l'chatchila in the case of an isur d'rabbanan, like muktzah. Mm-hmm. And again, we're saying that's only because the taroves is a given. So the Rav says, what's going on over here? Hare eitzim be eitzim. What are we talking about? We're talking about muktzah. We're talking about trees, logs. Hu taroves shall yovesh be yovesh min bimino. Interesting, right? If you think about it, everything is dry. You're not cooking it or baking it together. And not only that, it's all min bimino. I mean, there's no way you can differentiate between one log and another, except that this log was cut down before Shabbos, before Yontif, and this one on Yontif. Now, what's the din of Yavesh B'Yavesh Min B'Mino? This is the only case where in Hilchas Taroves and Hilchas Yerodeh, the halacha is bittul. Barov. That means if you have two against one, so you have two pieces of dry pieces of meat, it's all meat, one was shechted, one wasn't shechted, it's nevela with Basa Shchut, everything's dry, it's Min B'Mino. Here's where we're going to say Chad B'Trei Bot. I have three pieces, one of which is nevela. I don't know which one is nevela. And I'm going to apply bittul. What does that mean? I'm going to apply bittul. I don't know. That's a machlok between the Rosh and the Rajba, right? Does bittul mean that the Isa nefach liyos heter and I can eat all three pieces, or does it mean achrei rab lahatos that when I take out a piece of meat from this tarovis, I can assume it's heter? In any event, that's called bittul chad betray. Says Rav Salvechik, if we're talking about a case where the Rabbanon are being lenient and they're allowing you to be mevatel it, then it must be a situation where there's more Isa than Heter. I guess it means that one big log, I don't know, fell into this tanur and has only small pieces of what do they call them, twigs or smaller logs, is Myri Shahayu Eitze Isur Merubim, or maybe it was Chad B'Chad. I don't know, you have to know about Chad B'Chad. What's the deal in Chad B'Chad and Isur D'Rabbanan? I don't know. Diem Lokein Ain't Sar Klalos if all of Kedei Levatlo. I guess he's assuming that Chad B'Chad and Isur D'Rabbanan is Sofik D'Rabbanan Lekulo. I don't know. But let's take the case of Atze Isur Merubim. He says, if Atze Isur Merubim, then you really need bittul over here because there's no chad betray.
You have no relev.
Yeah, let's say you have trey isur and chad heter. So obviously, without bittul, you're in deep trouble. You have to beef up by adding another two, so you'll have tlas betray. If you follow what I mean. Now the rav, for some reason, which I'm not exactly sure why, presents a principle or a conceptual premise. I don't know. I'm not sure where this premise comes from, but let's just try to as a chavrusa, we'll try to understand where this premise comes from. He says, if we have Isur Meruba, Lo Mikri Tarovis Klal. Yeah, you have those words, Lo Mikri Tarovis Klal.
He said it before at the end of the second line, Kivan Deruba Dehetera Ninhu, Ki Kamahapech Dehetera Kamahapech. So he already set the stage that it has to be Rov Heter.
I'm not sure what you mean, Yosef. Let's again, when the Gemara says in Masechta Beitza that he's allowed to add Eitzim, the Gemara thinks that he is inevitably going to move Mukta.
Right. But he said before, Kivan Deruba Dehetera Ninhu, Ki Kamahapech Dehetera.
That's, by the way, when you say he said, I don't know what you mean by he, that's a quote of the Gemara in Beitza. So go ahead. Kivan Deruba Dehetera Ninhu.
Therefore, it has to be a robe of Heter. But apparently...
No, in other words, what he's saying is that if we have Rov Heter, then we can apply Bittul, and then there's no problem of being Mahapech Isura, right? Mahapech Isura means he violates the Isur Mukta because it's Batel. If it's Batel, if the Isur is Batel, the Eitzim Sheinim Muchanim is Batel, yeah, then he has no problem of moving Mukta. Again, that might again depend upon the Rosh and the Rashba, I don't know. But here I want to know something else. He's telling me that if you have Rov Isur, then it's not called a Tarovis at all.
Yeah.
Which would mean that we go back to the original definition, or the first basic primary definition of Ein Mevatlin Isur Chatchila, in which he's creating a Tarovis.
Creating it. Yeah.
But I'm just not sure what compels him. I mean, again, I can hear such a thing, Lo Mikri Tarovis Klal. I mean, it sounds like fancy footwork, but I don't know. I'm not sure why it has to be that way. I would say if I don't know where the Isur is and it's all mixed up, even if I don't have Rov Heter, I would still call it a Taroves. You know, he didn't create this situation. He didn't take a piece of Muktzah and throw it into Mukhan. That he didn't do. He's facing himself with a very... a very difficult situation right now. He's going to lose all the heter. He wants to now be Mosif. I don't know. It's not. He says it's not called being Mosif. It's called creating a Tarovis. You see, I would have said that the difference between creating a Tarovis and Mosif is just a question of reality. You know, let's just check the reality. What's going on with Metzius? No, he's saying no. There's a halachic definition of what's considered creating a Tarovis. And even though you have a physical Tarovis in front of you, you can't deny that everything's Mishka babbled. I don't know where the Isur is, but he's saying no. That's not called a Tarovis. And he adds another descriptive adjective here. Chashiv kenikara Isur. Chashiv kenikara Isur. He's saying the following, that by definition, in Halacha, a Tarovis doesn't mean I don't know where the Isur is. A Tarovis means that the Isur itself is completely gone. Everything is mixed together. So he's saying that if Lu Yitzur, we'd have something called Nikara Isur. Again, he's calling it Nikara Isur. Can I point to the Mukta? I can't point to the Mukta. I mean, that you understand what I'm saying? It's not Nikara Isur in the classic sense, but since I know that Rov is Mukta, then when I look at this mixture, I see that Rov is Mukta. That's called Nikara Isur. I'm looking at it.
Maybe because you know that halachically, any piece you would take out of it is called the Parash Meruba.
Right.
You have to say it's Isur.
Right. Yeah, I would always say that this piece that I look at is from the Rov, and therefore that's called Nikara Isur, because any piece is got a flag on it. It's got a label on it that says, I am Mukta. Why? Because Achiram Lahatos. Again, he applies it even in the case of Chad B'Trei, which again, that once again confuses me a little bit, because there's no Achirab Lahatis. I don't know why you call it Nikar Isra. I have two pieces, one of which is Mokta, one is the other. I don't know which one is which. Go flip a coin.
You have no robe.
So I'm just saying, you want to tell me that every time I have no robe, there's no Tarovis? I mean, that's a little bit difficult. Maybe. The absence of a robe equals the absence of a Tarovis.
Just to go back a little bit, you said about Hatzolos Heter.
Yeah.
That can only apply when the heter is rove. If there's rove issa,
I don't know why. Again, you know, I have, you know, let's say the heter is worth a thousand British pounds, right? Yeah. If I would say dollars, you'd say that's not worth much, but a thousand British pounds, right? Is the pound still worth more than the dollar?
Yeah.
Okay. We're not that bad with all that stuff over there. Anyway, so it's a very expensive heter. Okay, the heter is in the meat, but I want to do something to save my heter. Am I not? Authorized or can you not identify with my Can you not empathize with my need to save the heter? But he says it's called Nikara Iser. And Cain, Heich Amru Sheyachal Avatel, he's asking a kasha on the Gemara. Again, the whole kasha on the Gemara is based on a certain premise. He hasn't proven that premise. But the premise is that if it's Nikara Iser, because there's a rove of Iser, and everything is Yavesh B'Yavesh, and it's Min B'Mino, I know exactly that everything here is coming from the rove. In such a case, that's not called the Taroves. How could the Gemara therefore allow you to be Mosif Eitzim Muchanim to a Taroves when there is no Taroves? Okay, fine. That's where we got to yesterday. Now we start with another halacha, which you'll see on the other side of the page. And this has to do with what we call Yediyas HaIsur, which means the following, that the status of a Taroves, to a large extent, depends upon Yediyas HaIsur. It doesn't depend upon the physical proximity of two food items. So you could have a situation where there's Iser in two different kederos, and it's called a Taroves. And I'm going to calculate Shishin based on both kederos, the content of both kederos. Why? Because Einu Yodel Liezo Nofal. Because my Suffolk connects the two kederos and links them into one, making it into one gigantic taroves. So if you take a look, for example, putting this page on the right side of your table, look at the left side of your table, the next page, you'll see the following five words on the top. Ke'ilu akol nimtza b'taroves achas. You have that? Again, I can't tell you what page it's on. It got erased over here. Reish Pe'alev.
Reish Pe'alev,
yeah. You see the first five words in Reish Pe'alev, correct? So this is the lumdus, the principle that underlies the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that I can integrate the two kederos, meaning the content of the two kederos, to create bittul and bimavatel li'isur. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says one thing, and the Ramah says something else. The Shulchan Aruch says that everything is mitztarif the two kederos, as we said before. The lumdus is kilu akol nimtza b'taroves achas. The Ramah has a certain hesitation. Yeah, he's a little bit inhibited about this. He needs a physical taroves, and therefore he says that you can only apply this principle of bittul when he mixes them together. And now we have a problem. Why? Because if, according to the Ramah, I can only apply bittul after the two kederos are mixed, why? How does the Ramah going to allow me to take the two kederos and mix them into one? You know, get one big vat and pour the contents of two kederos into that vat. Now I'm violating Ein Mevatlin Iser L'Chatchila. And L'Chora, at this point, I would have suggested that no matter how you define this situation, it's definitely Mevatlin Iser L'Chatchila. He's taking the Isur and he's mixing it together with the Heter. Again, I can't tell you which Kedera is Heter, which is Isur, but there's one Kedera out of the two, which is pure Isur, and the other Kedera is pure Heter. When I say pure Isur, I mean if there's no Shishin, but there is no Shishin to Vatel. And now he's Rebbe Shalom, he's adding Heter in order to do what? To create Bittul. And that should be asur, even in an Issa Drabbanan, right? We said in Issa Drabbanan, once the Tarovus is there, you're involved in Atzolus HaHeter. Nein, in this case, you're not involved in Atzolus HaHeter. What you're doing is, you are setting up Bittul. Why? Because you are taking something that is not part of the equation, it's pure heter, and you're using it as a medium to be mevatel iser. So how could the Ramah allow this thing? V'nirul yashiv. Now the Rav wants to differentiate between a shame taroves and the absence thereof, and a t'nai and the absence thereof. In other words, in Hilchas Bittul, sometimes I need two conditions to be met in order to apply Bittul. One condition, we'll call it fundamental. It's absolute. We must have a Tarovus. Without a Tarovus, there's no Bittul. There are other conditions, or at least one other condition that we know of, which is a T'nai in the Chalos Bittul. It doesn't mean that I've done an act to create Bittul. I've only allowed the Bittul to operate. The Bittul itself is, so to speak, incarcerated. You know, it's lacking the air to breathe. And it can't exist without that air. So what's the air force that I have to give, the force of air that I have to inject here? I have to do, according to Ramah, a taroas b'vitzius. So I have to be ma'arev these two kederos together. Says Rav Soloveitchik, being ma'ariv the two kederos together, even according to the Ramah, is not the same as creating a tarovis. That for sure I wouldn't be allowed to do, because that's already a violation of Eidim Avat L'Nisa L'Chatchila. I have a tarovis, and both these kederos al pidin are part of one tarovis, because tarovis is defined by what? By my Yediyas HaIsur, and I don't have Yediyas HaIsur here. I don't know which of these Kederos has the Isur, then both Kederos are integrated into one Tarovus. However, Ramah says that, you know what, we have to get a Tarovus here, get a Mitzvah. Now again, who is going to take these two Kederos and put them together? I couldn't care less. You follow what I mean? It's not ain shlich l'dvar avera. I could ask you to mix the two. Don't feel that, you know, you're my Shabbos guy. You're doing my avera on my behalf. Because that's not a maisa bittul. Again, if I would ask you to take my nevela and put it into a keder of heter in order to mevatel it, you would say to me, divrei harava, divrei hatama, divrei rishonim. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to take Isum Bimavatalit. But if I already have a Taroves, and now I need a Maisa to be Ma'ariv them, is that a Maisa Avera? So if Salvechik says it's not a Maisa Avera, I'm not doing an act of Bittul. When I add something to a Taroves in order to be Mavatalit, that's an act of Bittul. But if I have already a Taroves, I'm just fulfilling this technical requirement, which in the Rav's language is just a t'nai. T'nai means chitzoni. It's just it's external to the bittul. Then I'm allowed to do it, and that's not a violation of ein mevat l'nisa l'chatchil. Again, keep in mind that what the Rav is doing here, I think, he's not explaining it in a rational way so that we, as psychological beings, we understand and appreciate why the halach is so. He's operating within a universe in which the facts are on the ground. The only thing is, we have to reconcile the facts. So we have to understand and define the mechanics in such a way that this should be, he says, that if you're going to assume that according to the Ramah, by mixing the two kederos, you are creating a taroves, then there's no way we can reconcile the Ramah with the principle of Eim Avat L'Nisa L'Chatchila, which means you're not allowed to be ma'arev, iser into heter, and create a bittul. You can't create a taroves. But rather, the Ramah agrees fundamentally to the Mechaber that the taroves is there, and again, the fact that he, as we said before, he's lacking Yediyas HaIsur, therefore it's a Taroves. So theoretically you can have things that are located in different parts of the earth, and it would be considered a Taroves because I don't know where it is and what it is. But for some reason, again, we don't know why, the Ramah has this condition that we're not going to let you apply Bittul until there's a Taroves. Who makes the Taroves? I couldn't care less. Let an animal come along and make the Taroves. Let the wind come along and blow the two Kederos one into the other. That's fine. This is not an act of creating Bittul. This is an act of removing a blockage. He calls it, where does he use that word? of Hasa. Oh yeah, here it is. Take a look on the next page again, on the top of Resh Pei Aleph, we said it was. And the last few words in the top paragraph, he says, Ela rak v'salek monea l'chalos din bitul. So it's not a din in the ma'aseh bitul, it's a din in the chalos bitul. Again, if you're not a brisker, forget it. This is pure gibberish. No, I'm honest with you. I'm telling you. You know, those who are very skeptical about the brisker derech, and there are those, Reb Chaim faced them all the time on a daily basis. They laughed at him. They will not be able to make any sense out of this. So forget it. You know, if you want to sign on to this, I'm telling you, you're in deep trouble, because then you've defined yourself as a brisker. You don't want to do that, do you? Who wants those labels? But he's saying there's a difference between the Maisa Bittel and the Chalos Bittel. The Maisa Bittel means when I create a Taroves, or when I add something in order to create a Taroves, that's called a Maisa Bittel. But if I have a Taroves, and basically I have Bittel, the only problem is that, let's call it a Xerid Rabbanon, and call it, Marisayan or something, we're afraid that the spectator will come to the wrong conclusions, will think that, you know, whenever you have a Kedera with Isra, all you have to do is, you know, mix it up with other Kederas. You know, he's going to come to the wrong conclusion. So we're going to have to sort of fool the spectator and convince him, Ke'ilu, pull the wool over his eye, that this was always a Taroves, because he understands the Taroves to mean a physical Taroves, so therefore the halacha created this t'nai. Now, if it's only a t'nai in applying the bittul, but it's not a ma'isa bittul, then it doesn't come under the iser of what? Ein mevatlin iser lechatchila.
You have to add anyway. So that's still what I'm trying to point out. The little pasuk 59 shtiklach of heter, and one of iser fell in. Now the other pot that has, say, 58 pieces of heter, period, and there's nothing else. That's it. Now you want to combine them, so they're
not allowed to combine.
So what would you do then? So what are you talking about now here?
Well, again, if you only have 59, then it's the whole thing is usur. You know, there's
that's
no shishi.
The
only case where the Rama allows you to combine kederos is when you don't know in which kedera it fell, so that there's already a taromas because of your suffix. Your idea, lack of knowledge, creates a suffix. Now, once that suffix exists, then we're going to apply two lumdisha principles, all of which are conceptual. One is that the two kederos in the light of my suffix become one taroves, because taroves depends upon yedias ha'isur. And the second lumdisha principle is that when the Rama requires you to mix the kedera, that's only a technical. That's not in order to create bittul. Bittul's there, but they said, you know what, there's certain conditions that have to be met in order to apply bittul before, but the bittul itself is there.
So this is just...
All right, let's see, again, we only have 10 minutes, if we can make a little bit of progress. We're talking about the Mechaber in Simon Tzadi Tes, 99. And he writes, V'im b'mezid, what do we say about knas? Meaning, supposing a person violated this iser of Ein Mevatlin Iser L'chadchilo. Correct?
Tzadi Hei. Tzadi Tes or Tzadi Hei?
I thought this is Tzadi Tes, no? Aren't we in Tzadi Tes? Yeah, we're in Tzadi Tes. Okay. All right, whatever it is. Let's Ravosa, we only have a few minutes left. Let's see if we can make a little bit of progress. So we'll have food for thought over Shabbos. He says the following, that to what extent do we impose a knas post facto? We're talking about a mezid, and he deliberately mixed Iser into Heter. He says, Osel mevatel atzmo imhu shelo v'chein lemisha nisbatel bishvilo. So there's a double knas here. There's a knas first on the mevatel, but that is conditional on the fact that it's his. And they created another knas if, let's say, he did this bittul in order to feed somebody, so that person is on the receiving end, and he's going to benefit from this bittul. He also is included in this isur. Now, wait a second. This person that he's feeding, let's say in his restaurant, you know, after he was mevatel the iser and heter, is that person aware of the fact that did he commission? I don't want to say me, but did Shimon, the guest in the hotel, did he commission Reuven to do this bittul for him?
Yeah, he ordered this. This.
But did he know that they were taking the veil and putting
it for him?
So the Taz quotes the Marshal. Okay, you're okay with the Reb Kivegi, but let's understand the Marshal. The Marshal says Dafka im Yoda shenis batel avuro. Because again, we're always assuming that the bittul is valid. Do you follow what I'm saying? The bittul is chal. What we're doing is we're saying don't benefit from this bittul. Why? Because you're an avarion. You're a transgressor. So if the recipient, we'll call him Shimon, he commissioned Reuven to do this, then for sure he's a transgressor. But if it happened and he was unaware of it, then that's not considered worthy of a knas. So dafka im yoda shenis batel avur v'nichale, he's very happy that this went on. You know, now he has a bigger a bigger pot of food to eat. Then it's also lowland, so many can't benefit from it. Comes along the Taz and he says, even if he didn't commission it, so all you need out of three conditions, you need one. There are three conditions. Number one is that the recipient benefits from the bittul, correct? Number two, he's aware of the bittul, and number three, he commissioned the bittul. Says the Marshal, we only need two out of those three conditions. Number one, we need yediyas habittul. You know, he knows that what he's getting is was subject to bittul, illegal bittul. Number two, he benefits from the bittul, but the third condition, that he commissioned the bittul, that's not required.
Not required for what?
In order for it to be also on the guest in the hotel. Says Rabbi Kivega, the name of the Rivash, that in Bittul Stam, what happens if Reuven takes Nevela and he says, Kol mi sheyirtza liknos, anybody who wants to buy this kedera, he'll benefit from the extra Nevela inside of it. Hareyu kemisha nasa b'shvilam b'myuchad the asalakulam. Unbelievable. Whereas the Taz says that as far as others are concerned, the knas as a result of this violation of Yisrael depends upon them, the recipients. What did they have in mind? Did they realize it was being done? Did they want to benefit from it? Even though the initiative was that of the Mevatel, but nevertheless they're interested in benefiting from it. This is great. You know, this is good news. Says Rabbi Kiveger, forget it. I don't care what the recipient is thinking. It's irrelevant. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know that it was deliberately violated of Mevatel. But everything depends upon the das or the rotzon of the mevatel. If he had it in mind for a specific person, or for that matter, if he had it in mind for everybody, then no one's allowed to benefit from it. You understand? Just again, just the sabres oz, and don't take me too seriously, but just on a psychological level, what Rabbi Kivega is saying is that if our goal is to make sure that no one should violate this Isur of Eim Mevatel and Isur Chatchila, we have to tell the guy that no one's going to benefit from this. If he is going to be able to sell this on the market, and now he beefs up his price because he's got a shtick nevel in it, then we're not going to accomplish anything if everybody's going to enjoy it. So in other words, we're telling, it's like, do you remember the word fence? It's like telling the Gazlan, no one's going to be able to buy this. So you're going to steal the Mona Lisa. No one's going to buy the Mona Lisa from you. So we're saying to this person who's being mevatel l'chatchila that no one is going to benefit from this. So you're not going to benefit from it. You want to do this so that others will buy your merchandise, your food stuff. Buddy, I got news for you. According to Allah, we're not going to allow that to happen. I'm just giving a psychological explanation. Now, how do we paskin halacha l'maisa? We're going to take a look in Hilchas Shabbos, where again there's a knas for violating an isur. And that's called Maisa Shabbos. And we're going to see if we can create a parallel. So Shin Yud Ches. Anybody who knows Shin Yud Ches and Or Chaim gets smichu automatically. Well, that's all you have to know is Shin Yud Ches. The laws of Bishul. So the Mechaber Paskins in Shin Yud Ches. I'm a Vashel B'Shabbos B'Mezid. Also Lo Liola. The Iser and the Knas of Maaseh Shabbos Zol D'Rabbanan, by the way, is only imposed upon the violator, the Mavashel. Lacherim, Mutar, Lemotzei Shabbos Miad. In other words, they have to wait till after Shabbos, but immediately after Shabbos, even though again, they're going to eat this for Malava Malka right after Shabbos, they're going to benefit from the Bishul, because otherwise it would take a half hour to cook it.
And they didn't do Bechtei Yasu.
And they didn't wait Bechtei Shiyasa, and it's Mutar. So what do we see? That we're not going to constant someone who did not violate any Avera. He was totally passive. And again, right up front, before we even move from the spot, we see that there's a contrast here between the law of Mavatlan Yisrael Chatri when it was violated, and the Yisrael Bishul Shabbos when it was violated. In the case of Bishul Shabbos, the only Knas is going to be imposed on the Avaryan, who was Mavashel. But in the case of Iser, of Iser, Mavatl, Iser, Chachila, no one's allowed to benefit from it. Well, at least not that person, or in the, if you go with the Taz, no one for whom this was set up as a benefit. So others, even though they didn't violate the Iser, Bittul, Iser, Chachila, they will nevertheless be prohibited from enjoying the benefits. So the Magen Avraham writes the fine. Mishan is bashal b'shvilo, havi gam kein dino kim avashal atzmo. And again, I don't know if he's talking about a case where Shimon commissioned Reuven. He said, "Do me a favor, Shimon. Do me a favor, Reuven. I have this raw meat. Can you cook it for me on Shabbos?" I don't know if that's the case, or just simply that the mavashal said, "I am doing this for you." Mm-hmm. So we see already that the Magen Avraham created this bridge and this analogy. Is lafizeh yetsa, it should come out sheim nefa pas biafir b'shabbos ye also call Yisraeli olam ledas harivash. Because again, Rabbi Kivega said in the name of the Rivash that if he said lechol mishi yirtze, so somebody bake the bread on Shabbos, and he invites anybody who wants to eat the bread, then that's considered his battle bishvilo. And according to the Magen Avraham, we have an equation between the Iser of benefiting from Bittul Iser and benefiting from Maaseh Shabbos. Just like in the Rivash's frame of reference in Bittul Iser, anyone who was included in the original plan of the Mevatel is enjoined. So too in Bishul B'Shabbos, anyone who was included in this plan that he should benefit or could benefit would be also. El Deshuv Hosiv Amagen Avron Divdiver Beis Yosef the Mashba the Lo Kan Sinon Lemisha Nasa Bishvilo Ela Bevatel Isel Chatchil V'Lo B'Maaseh Shabbos. Strange. With regard to Shabbos, we're going to say only if he what. Only if it was Nasa Bishvilo. With regard to Shabbos, we're going to say that it's only Lamisha Mavatal Bishvilo. With regard to Shabbos, I'm sorry, I keep making the same mistake over. With regard to Shabbos, we're going to say it's only also to the Mavashel, but with regard to Mavatal Yisrael Chatkil, we can expand that, and we're going to say that it's Misha Nasa Bishvilo. Why? This is a paradox. We're being more machber, says the Magen Avraham, dafka in the case of Bittul Yisrael Chatkil than Shabbos. I mean, if you think the Rabbanon wanted to counsel you to avoid Chil Shabbos, there would be more machmir in Shabbos. So let's just make a note of where we got up to. Here's a major, major chiddush of promotion. This is going to have benefits for buying breads on Sunday. I don't know if you ever had the opportunity in Europe or someplace to buy a bread on Sunday. You know the bread is kosher, but you don't know if it was baked on Shabbos. So there's a chiddush here from a bush that we'll get to.